Oh, I got his ass now.
Do I have to be fast on the track?
I hate that guy.
This race could change the rest of your life.
Those absolute clowns at 15BMX.com.
Go on, do my best, and whatever happens, then it's good.
My butthole got stretched a little bit. And
I got a tight little butt.
Look, I'm about to light this shit up.
Coffee Chatter Live, where are you guys at? Oh, Canada! Coming out of the answer tent right now. Pop Dog, Millionaire! Let's make some noise, Tory Nighthawk! Whoa!
Show 215, we're back this week, James. Lots to talk about. What's the date? September 12th?
September 12th,
2023. We are both broadcasting from the great Northwest. Good to be back in Canada.
Beautiful place to be right now. Happy to have you back in the land of the red and the white. T, I know you're the land of the red, white, and blue. So, you know, you came across the border for a little bit. Nice to have you home. I know it's not home for you, but we're happy to have you here.
Oh, you know, it's good to be back. It's nice to visit. Weather's been fantastic. I've been enjoying it.
I'm glad to hear it. The weather, to be honest, hasn't been like perfect the past little while since you've been home, but I mean, it hasn't been terrible. So that's good.
It's been like 20, 25 Celsius sunny. It's been beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, the 20, 25 Celsius is fantastic.
Oh, it's great.
That's perfect.
Really refreshing temperature. ProGate Europe winning starts the Great Gate. Elise Willoughby, great star on the ProGate Europe. Had Elise Willoughby on the show last week. If you want to go back and listen? No, 2 weeks ago. Romain was last week.
You know, either way, Romain's a great starter too. So if you want to go last week, great starter. Elise Willoughby the other week, great starter. Either way, you got to go get a ProGate Europe. Yo, I wonder how many shows. Okay, guys. Like ProGate's been on for a long time. Let's be real. They've been on a supporter for a long time. If you've been hearing this and you keep saying every time we say it, like, oh, I should totally get one, but you haven't gone to your track, what are you waiting for? Just hurry up and go talk to your track operator, talk to somebody at the facility and let them know how good a ProGate Europe is, because you've probably ridden one and you probably know it is good, but your track doesn't have one yet and you're waiting. You need to tell them.
Yeah, it's just your fault at this point.
It's not the track's, it's yours.
So wedding last there, my best buddy Daniel got married on Friday. Yeah, Friday. I was the best man. It's really fun being a part of a wedding. Like being a groomsman or like being part of the wedding party is my first experience, especially being the best man. It was really cool.
What was the whole experience like? So I'm sure there was like, were you guys in like doing stuff the night before the wedding and stuff too?
We just played a round of golf, or like 9 holes the night before, because we were all staying on the golf course where the wedding was, and then just had dinner and chilled.
That's nice.
The next day, like, yeah, me and the two other groomsmen went over to the groom's cabin, and then we just got dressed and had a couple of drinks. The photographer came over, took photos. Then we went and took some more photos. Then him and the bride took photos together, and like, you're basically just hanging out. I took care of the marriage certificate, make sure it got to the people that needed to get to. And then I took care of the rings for hours, which is a little stressful taking care of the rings. You have one job and it's just to not fuck it up.
I feel like
not lose the rings.
I feel like both those jobs are pretty important. The paperwork's big because, I mean, you got to make it official. That needs to get to the people. And then rings are huge. I mean, that's always the classic wedding video, movie, story, whatever, where they just lose the rings, of course, and they can't find them. So that's a huge one.
He gives them to me. He's like, just don't fucking lose them.
You got one job, dude. Just don't fucking lose these things, all right?
You have one job. Yeah. Well, it's cool because the job is just to take care of that stuff and make sure the groom just has everything he needs, and you just get some. You got to get him to the altar in one piece.
Yeah, that's all it is. It's perfect. As long as
that's one job.
As long as you don't let your boy drink too much, you know, doesn't get overly drunk and, you know, shit faced, then you're fine.
And it's cool. Like, it's a bit of a rush walking down the aisle and standing up there. It's really cool, actually.
So I got to ask, is it nice to get a little pre-trial to, you know, what it's like walking down the aisle? You know, because you're engaged.
Yeah,
man now. So it was like a little practice run, they say.
I had a firsthand view of how everything unfolds. Yeah.
Nice. Okay. I think it's good preparation.
It was a little stressful because I got to give the rings during the ceremony and stuff. You got to make sure you stand in the right place and walk everywhere you need to. And then I signed as a witness, I guess, when they signed for the marriage.
Okay.
We didn't do a rehearsal. And typically, I guess a lot of times people don't now, but a lot of people do like a rehearsal the night before or whatever.
Yeah, that's pretty common.
To make sure you go through the ceremony. Yeah. So we didn't do one. So the officiant? The guy who does the wedding?
Officiant? Yeah, let's go with it. Let's go with that.
Okay, I don't know if that's the right word, but it doesn't sound right.
Anyway,
I don't know what to say exactly. But anyway, so he just kind of told us where to walk, and I made sure. I was like, okay, so I'm walking this way. Where do I stand? When do I give you the rings? What do I do? Because the last thing I want is to just fuck something up at the ceremony.
You don't want to be that guy that causes something.
No. You just got to blend in there and just not do anything wrong. And it went smoothly, thankfully.
That's nice. So when do you give the rings to him? Like right when he gets up
there? So he told me the line it was something like, as a symbol of your love, you brought rings to whatever. And that was my cue to give him one ring. So he took it. Then I took the box back, stood there with it. And then he said something else. And then I gave him the other ring.
Oh, he takes both rings to like give it to her to then give to him?
Yeah. So I have both rings, the bride's and the groom's ring. And then he took her ring first put it on Daniel, and then Daniel put it on Kelsey after. Yeah. I want to say it went like something like that.
Hell yeah.
I just knew my two things and I just opened the box when I had to and then held it when I had to.
Just waiting intently, just listening as hard as you can. Just, okay, where's my line? Where's my line?
Oh, my time to shine, baby. Here we go.
How did your, how did the speech go?
Good. It was a rush, actually. It wasn't that hard to write, actually, to be honest.
Wow,
I wrote it, that day before I left. And you just think about, like, basically introduced myself, talked about how I met the groom, said a couple funny stories, and then talked about how Daniel's family was a big part of my life growing up, and then talked about Dan and Kelsey, how they met, a bit about Kelsey, and then wrapped it up. It was like, I think it was like 2:45 when I timed it. So it was perfect, short and sweet.
Perfect. That's good.
Yeah, no one wants a long speech. You got to keep it short and sweet, I think.
Yeah, I think so too. You got to keep it kind of clean, like just enough where it just, as soon as people maybe start to get like lose interest, you shut it down.
His dad's speech, I was dying. I mean, really? I love his dad. Like, I love his parents. He told this one hilarious story about how Daniel threw a raging party when he was like 16. And then everyone was like, oh my God, I can't believe you're sharing this, but it was fucking hilarious. And then he segues the next sentence to just being like, oh, you know, I just, you know, with all that said, I'm just so proud of my son. And then it was fucking hilarious because it's like, you go from telling a story of debauchery to just all of a sudden being serious. And it's not maybe funny when I say it now, but I was dying.
That sounds funny to me. Yeah. That's so good.
Yeah. It was like one of those unintentionally funny moments when you like, you transition to something serious, but everyone's still thinking about the rager that he threw. Yeah. So good times.
They're good people. So it sounds like it would have been a lot of fun. Good fun wedding.
Yeah. They're good people. And so that was fun. Weddings are cool. Got two more this year. Me and you were going to a wedding Thursday.
Our boy Sean Gain is getting married this weekend. Pretty excited about that. That'll be fun.
Boy's going to play some golf. Marry Sean in Chicago. It's going to be a fun time.
I have never been to Chicago, so I'm extra looking forward to the whole 3 days, 4 days we're there. It's going to be fun.
I've only been to Rockford a handful of times. Which you fly in Chicago, but then you drive straight out of it. So
you never see it.
I've been there, really.
Yeah, same. Okay.
Not really, no.
I wore my suit the other day, and can confirm upper body, shoulders, does feel tight. So we're running it tight. It just is what it is. Suit's going to be the suit it is. I just got no other option.
I mean, you're looking pretty buff.
Thanks. I'm trying. I know there's no YouTube video this day, but dude, yesterday, because it was not 9/11, so RIP, I guess. Never forget.
I was going to do a tribute at the beginning, but now you brought up 9/11 was yesterday. Obviously, everyone remembers the horrific attacks on the World Trade Centers and the Pentagon, I believe. Never forget the people who lost their lives.
Didn't really want to skip across that, so that was good. Did a little 9/11 workout, and it was like 343 squats, push-ups, and steps up the Stairmaster with some weight or whatever. I was hurting, dude. I'm still hurting a little bit. It's a lot of stuff, so... Not that it's a whole lot at the end of the day, but it was done quickly. So.
Wow.
It's a lot, dude.
Yeah, that's a lot.
It's a lot. Are you wearing a tie this weekend?
I mean, yeah, I got my groomsman.
Oh, yeah, groomsman tie. You guys are wearing ties.
So I'm not bringing mine. I pick it up when I'm there.
That's nice. You don't have to bring it. I'm going to have to, classic. I'm going to be that guy through the airport, just the suit bag over the shoulder, walking, just looking like a businessman.
Just wear it on the plane.
You know, I ain't, this suit is not touching one of those gross airplane seats, dude.
No, like
maybe if I was first class flying, like, I don't know, in a pod or something, maybe, or if I had more than just like one good suit, then I would, but
yeah. In other news, NFL is back this weekend. The Ravens won on Sunday, so we're 1-0. The Bengals lost, which was hilarious to me. They lost like 24-3.
Dude, we stunk.
Joey Burrow sucks.
One game does not define the season we can have, okay? One game does not define us.
No, it doesn't. Kansas City also lost the first game, so there's that. Did you see Monday Night Football? No, Sunday Night Football with the Cowboys and the Giants?
Dude.
40-0.
What a blow. What a blowout. That was terrible.
The quarterback was sacked 9 or 7 times.
It wasn't even like it got to one of those games where I'm sure if you're Dallas, you're having a great time. But if you're New York or anybody else caring like just to watch a game, it wasn't fun to watch at all.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It wasn't fun at all.
Aaron
Rodgers out for the season.
Yeah, dude. that's heartbreaking.
I know we're not an NFL podcast, but they fucking signed the guy. It's a huge thing. The whole league, city, everyone's pumped. Fucking first drive, boom, severs his Achilles tendon or whatever, out for the season. There goes like $40 million down the tube.
I could not believe it, dude. Even the whole like entrance night, him walking out with the flag, the whole being in New York, 9/11. It was like, this is a goosebumps moment right now. It was seriously a goosebump moment. You're like, Rodgers is here. Yeah. Here comes New York. The Jets are alive. Like, they're going to have something this season. The fact it happened that quickly, dude, they didn't get anything out of him. Nothing.
I know. He comes running on the field with carrying the flag, look like fucking Captain America running on the field, and then he gets hurt 2 minutes later.
Like, unreal. That's heartbreaking.
That's really tough. It's like you train for 3 months in the offseason in BMX, you have a new sponsor, everyone's stoked, first round, you crash in the first corner, fucking blow your ACL up for the year.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much.
That's what the equivalent would be.
Unbelievable. Yeah. At least, I guess at least the Jets went on to win the game. So cool. So they can be happy about that. But you can't be happy now that your team spent how many millions on one guy and he's out?
Oh, my God. Took the breath out of a city.
Yeah. Unreal, dude. So.
Do you think people have gotten better on social media?
I think so. So this is... I think this is one of our talks I want to chat about. I think people have gotten better over the last couple years, we'll say. Some people on social media, I got to give a lot of credit to. Their stuff's really entertaining. They post really good quality stuff. It might be because I'm a fan of the reels, where I love a good quick clip with some music, maybe a short little slow-mo video. I'm a fan. I think I really am a fan. I don't like the boring stuff. Like, I don't like the basic, you know, I guess like gate stuff, but even gate stuff, you put a good song to it, slow it down, you have a little music drop somewhere. I'm a fan these days.
Our sport looks really good on social media. Like, it's very easy to get good content. Pretty much anything looks good. Like, it's a very eye-catching sport.
Yeah, it really is. Like, anybody outside the sport that can like click on your video and see it, I think is going to be entertained in some way. Whereas you look at other sports, I mean, track and field might be tough sometimes. If you're a sprinter, what are you going to do to really get good quality entertainment out of your content? You know what I mean? It'd be tough.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like divers maybe can get good stuff, but like their training stuff, you're not going to get good stuff unless they're just doing the same dives into the pool over and over.
I just kind of turned into TikTok though. It's all just reels pretty much.
Yeah, it kind of is, isn't it? So, which I don't like.
No
I don't
one really
hate,
gives a shit about photo. No one gives a shit about photos anymore, really.
That's kind of true. You post a sick photo, you put time and effort into it. Yeah, you got nothing. A photographer out, even a good quality like shot. I swear you'll get more. Yeah, you can just take an iPhone reel video, and you'll get way more views and likes and interactions out of that than you will any photo.
Remember how hard it used to be to post videos like 10 years ago to some music? You had to film. You had to download an app. You had to download the song. You had to blend it together. And then you have to post it. It was a whole thing.
It was an ordeal, dude. And people didn't give a shit about those videos.
No, it was a fucking ordeal. And now you can just do it in 2 seconds on a reel.
It's the complete opposite now. So, yeah, you just throw the video up and people love it. Whereas you go take that GoPro video that GoPro picture that people used to love. And nowadays it's like, oh, whatever. It's a shitty GoPro photo.
I know the go. Those things aren't really a thing anymore compared to what they used to be.
That was GoPro photos. That was a hot. How hot?
It was like, hot.
It was.
It was very hot. I want to say 8 to 10 years ago. That was the shit. You get some GoPro videos. Get a little wide angle in there. Fans went nuts for those.
Those were incredible. You throw a little saturation on that thing. Unbelievable.
Throw a little saturation, little contrast sharpness, do the deal, and then it's just fucking boom. It's like central.
Those old ones, you throw like some HDR in it, whatever HDR is. I don't even remember, but this app had HDR.
Dude, you know what is fucking hilarious about HDR? You go back and look at a photo from 10 years ago, it looks like a watercolor painting. It doesn't even look like a photo.
It looks horrific, doesn't it?
Horrible.
So bad. I don't understand. Dude, yeah. I mean, those GoPros, like you see photos from what we thought was a good GoPro shot back then. You're like, dude, the quality of this sucks.
No, it's crap. Yeah. That stuff has gotten so much better. It's amazing.
I feel like I was making fun of my dad a while back. We were talking about GoPros and we had one of our old GoPros laying around. I think he wanted to keep it to use for stuff. And I was like, that thing might only be like, I don't know, a handful of years old, maybe more. I can't really remember. But I was like, that thing's an ancient at this point. The amount of GoPros and iPhones have come out since with like better quality cameras is insane.
Yeah, it really has. Yeah. But I think you're right. People post cool stuff and people have gotten more creative, I think, with what they're doing.
Yeah, which I think is awesome. And yeah, there's some good, I don't know, I like the BMX people. I like the content we post. I mean, there's people like, I give Saya credit. She posts a lot of like behind the scenes stuff, which I think people that aren't in the BMX world would love that, because I mean, if I follow other athletes, other sports, I love seeing behind the scenes stuff of what they do in their regular life, right?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. I think I also think it's become a thing where like the main thing people want videos is just they just want content. Like their first thought is they do something cool, I can't wait to it's like an automatic thought. You do something cool, I can't wait to post it.
Yeah,
that's so it, true, it's changed though. That's riders say that's like one of the number one thoughts, a lot of them.
Yeah. You almost need a camera, like you need a coach with the camera rolling at all times, because a lot of times, like, yeah, you're going to do something nuts and warm up, of course. That's normally when it happens. And you're going to want that clip. And it's like, because, yeah, they're right. The first thing you think, and once you complete that, is like, I need to show everybody. Everybody needs to see what I just did.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yeah.
And like, why? Why do you really need to do that?
I don't know. That's how we prove ourselves these days. I don't know. A lot of people like to prove themselves via like what other people think and showing off to people instead of just kind of doing it for their own good or like for the people there watching, like within the group or whatever. Yeah, it's different though.
You know what makes Corbin so legit? He's done some of the most outrageous stuff and no one even knows about it from the six people that are there and word of mouth. Like when he's tried to triple that shit at Chula at the old Pro Rhythm, insane.
Unbelievable. Like he's like just no clip of it either, which is nuts.
Like, apparently he just kind of talked about it, didn't tell anyone, just rolled in and sent it.
Unbelievable. That's the wildest thing about some people in our sport, and like the fact that nobody, they're sleepers when it comes to these random skills of trying the most ridiculous things.
Like that pull in triple, if some people could see what he tried at the old London track, they wouldn't believe it.
It's astronomically big with no like no case pad really.
I would have loved to see it in person.
God, just sprint in down a hill, hop into a berm, pull into a roller, and just hock a triple.
Fuck that.
Unbelievable. I'm trying to think. What do you think is the biggest triple you've ever done? Not hardest, not most difficult, just biggest hock.
Good one. We raced the World Cup in South Africa in 2011. The triple was like 45 feet, so maybe that one.
Oh, is that that was the dirt? Sorry, what year? 2011? Yeah, 2011.
Yes, there's like a right-hand first corner. You had kind of the like crossover jump on the second straight.
First off, that was a super weird first jump too. It was like a tabletop step down.
Mm-hmm.
Super weird.
They tried some wacky shit that year. We had that year, that was the first Papendal year. We had the London test event. That was a whole circus. Every track we rode was like a video game.
Dude, how many World Cups were there that year? Three, four? Every track was a crossover.
Four. The last one was Chula, the Beijing track. Talk about gnarly four tracks to race on.
Dude, yeah, you go from, yeah, South Africa, weird first jump, massive triple, dirt turns to a crossover, to then going to Papendal with the crossover, which was nuts. That was the wild.
And the insane wild seconds. The second, third straight were fucking huge. He jumped on the container jump. It was the whole thing.
Was it 2011, the berm jump too? First straight berm jump? Yeah.
Uh-huh. And then London, the same thing.
yeah. So the London, the insane, wild. And then... was it Chula Beijing 2011?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good track. Good one. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah. What a year.
Yeah.
One of the questions, one next one. Okay, so if anyone's paying attention to the show, a lot of different shit going on in the show. We're just going to be chatting through in some different topics. This next one, are there enough factory rides in BMX today? Do you believe there are enough factory rides to, you know, provide for the top guys, you know, give them a home, let's say, on a team?
I think there's too many companies.
I think there are too many companies, but not enough solid factory rides for them.
Depends what you mean by like factory ride. There's a lot of bike companies now. There's a shit ton.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. There, it does seem like there are a ton, and it seems like some of them are like, you know, we could call them, I don't want to say, I feel like they're not really careful on the words. Yeah. They're not like they're not what we're referring to when it comes to a factory ride or a factory team. Like, you look at somebody like, yeah, the Joris right now, the Isaac, you look at Cam Wood, Elise, like Lauren, like those different teams are the ones that are like solid mm-hmm. factory rides. Like, which are there enough, do you think? Are there enough of those teams, those brands in the sport right now to hold the top people where they need to be?
There's not as many like well-paying factory rides that there was 5-10 years ago, even now. And I'm not really sure why. I think, like we've talked about it before, I think a lot of riders are undervalue themselves. Like, I think a lot of riders are undervalued in general for what they bring and exposure to the brand. And I think a lot of them are underpaid.
Is there ever a way, do you think, to actually get that undervalue back up? It's got to be tough.
Riders have to start refusing deals that aren't good enough. I think the problem is people are stoked for a pair of free goggles or a free whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like, why would X company pay someone else 50 grand a year to ride their bike when so-and-so will do it for 10? That's like maybe not quite as good, but still pretty close.
Yeah.
So I think riders have undervalued themselves.
I agree. I got to think it's going to be tough for any rider now to start saying like no to a deal though, in hopes to help the market when that next Joe Blow is just going to come and take it. Yeah.
That's the problem. It has to be kind of a unanimous, but people will just kind of take whatever. And, you know, to a certain extent, you can't really blame them. Like, you know, that might be a good money to them, or it might be worth it to them in their mind to do it. And maybe they don't care about making money in general. I don't know. There's a variety of reasons, and like, you can't fault them for it, but I think that's like slowly over time eroded those deals away.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, but kind of what it seems like. It's just,
but theoretically, if all the pros were like, yeah, no, fuck this isn't good enough, or people in general, even amateurs, were saying, yeah, this is not good enough, the market would probably correct and the teams would have to pay more. The consumer, or like the people, that's what drives it,
right? Okay, so we need to band together is what you're saying.
Yeah, good luck.
So have fun.
Anytime anyone's tried to band together, that works well.
Yeah, really, really works well for everybody. Everyone has a great time. It's nobody gets mad.
You know what? You know what's the exact same thing? It's like when you go to a World Cup and everyone's like, yeah, let's band together. We shouldn't race. This is too dangerous. And then you have 30 people that are like, yeah, we'll race no matter what. So the people are like, yeah, we're going to do it. It's the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then everyone just ends up doing it. It's the exact same shit.
Those situations are so tough all around, dude. Like, to get everyone on board is one thing. It's like, if somebody doesn't feel the same way, then it's like, you're not going to like, they're not just going to, you know, melt and just be part of the group just because, you know, everyone else is doing it. You don't want them to be that person. But at the same time, like, if the majority of the people are doing it, there's obviously some kind of concern happening.
Mm-hmm. But it's impossible because there's always going to be someone who goes and just wants to race no matter what. Always. And, you know, it's like you see both sides. Like, if they paid their way and they're fine with it, then how can you really blame them? But that's the problem. Same thing when someone was like, oh, yeah, I'll ride for a free bike and blow up social media about it. And they're just like not quite as good as the top rider. Then the company's not going to worry about the top rider because it's like, well, the return on investment is still going to be better with this other person.
Right. Yeah. I kind of hope and kind of feel that we're starting to come back around where it's like results and social media play a part. And you're not just getting
for sure.
Yeah, you're not just a social media person.
I don't think that's ever changed though. I don't think it's ever been just social.
Okay. You need a combo still, at least.
Yeah, for sure. Like, yeah, social media helps, but I don't think BMX will never be just social media because it's a racing performance sport.
Right. It's not really a
like there's
point scored artistic kind of sport like that.
No. Yeah. Like there's some people who obviously don't get the results, but are have a great presence and do well compared to riders who like have better results. But generally you need both. You need to get results at the end of the day.
True, true. So how do you feel about people like when they're like, so in football, like when we get, someone gets an injury, I don't know what Rogers' deal is, but then the common theme of football is somebody gets injured, they don't get paid, which sucks. How do you feel about like in BMX where people can get injured and should they still get like kind of paid from their sponsor, do you think?
It's a tough one. I see both sides.
Yeah.
Because I think in the past, like if I've had small injuries and missed a few races, most sponsors have still paid me. In the past, like I've had a long-term injury, it's been cut, like a portion of it's been cut, but I've still gotten paid. I never had it fully cut. It's kind of like also though, it's like from the rider's perspective, it's like you got hurt doing what you're paid to do. So it's like you think you should still be compensated for it when you're hurt. You know what I mean? It's like, but I had it in previous contracts, like with previous sponsors, if I got hurt doing something else outside BMX, they could cut the contract or not pay me, which is kind of fair. Like if they're paying you to do this and you get hurt skiing,
right,
then I understand that. Yeah.
But at the same time, if you got hurt doing something simple, like I don't know, somebody hits you in your car and you hurt your wrist or something, it's like, well, it's not your fault. That's like, yeah. So hopefully they're
no. But then from the sponsor's perspective, like, why am I paying you if you're not doing fulfilling your obligations?
It kind of makes sense to have it like if it's only a little bit of time, then you can kind of get away with it because you can make up in other ways. Let's say social media stuff, being at the track, hanging out, or it's just so short of a time that you just don't miss that much. But I get it if it's long-term that you maybe have to cut it down a bit and take a little bit of a pay cut. And at the end of the day, hopefully your expenses aren't as much either. Maybe you're still, the injury is costing you a little bit, but in general, hopefully the expenses aren't as much from traveling and racing all over.
I think it's best if both sides are come to kind of a reasonable agreement. And I think I have that in a lot of contracts. Like if it's a long-term thing, it said something like team and rider or sponsor and rider will come to a reasonable agreement, or it's just fair. Like, you know, you kind of got to give and take. You got to be reasonable.
Yeah, 100% you do. Yeah.
Like if you're out for a year, you shouldn't really expect to be paid fully. It's like you're not really, I don't know, you're not really doing it.
No, you're not doing what your end of the bargain was.
No, but it shouldn't be cut completely because that's not right either.
No.
Let's do a little coach's corner. I get messages from people all the time asking about different training stuff and I don't know, questions about whatever. One of the things, I had a few people reach out to me and I posted this in my TNBX BMX training Facebook group. By the way, for those of you that are interested to join, hop on my website. It's under community.
What do you guys do?
But developing.
What is that
group? What does the group do? I post. Yeah. So it's my TNBMX training Facebook group. You can apply to join for free if you like. And I post like training tips each week. We have discussions about training. People ask me questions and that kind of stuff.
Oh, nice. I like that. That's cool.
Yeah. So just discussion about training. Yeah. People can post their questions. Like I said, I post my best training tips. I just want to help people improve.
Cool.
So one of the things is developing track speed. Cause a lot of people think track speed, you need to do full laps. You need to do that kind of stuff. It might help your ability to repeat full laps, but it's not really going to increase track speed. In order to increase track speed, you need to ride at a really fast pace. So single straight efforts, half lap efforts, those are some of the best ways to increase track speed because you're able to go much faster than you would in a normal lap. And so when you do a normal lap, your nervous system and body are used to going at a higher pace than you can ride in a full lap. So theoretically, you ride faster. Follow?
Right. Yep.
Which you obviously know already, but it's really important to ride as fast as you can with single straight efforts and half laps. And that's one of the best ways to increase speed. And that's something I program with all the riders that I train. And it's fun to do. Like you can bring out timers, you can race your friends. Like that's stuff we used to do at the track. Me and Connor did a lot as well. And it just really helps you, not only your bike control, but your kind of belief in yourself at being able to ride at such a pace.
I think timers are huge for that, for a lot of different things. Like
100%.
Yeah. Cause I mean, you can do half lap efforts and just think you're going fast, or you have a day you think you're going slow, but unless you time it to actually know, you don't really have any like solid data to say like, hey, I'm actually going faster right now or not. So it's like, you can set the timers. I've put them in the same place all the time, record those times, you go after it. And I swear you can find, you find extra speed when the timers come out. Do you believe or agree with that?
100%. You can push. So you can usually push so much harder than you actually are.
Yeah, when we've done like single straight efforts in the past where you put the timers out and say, okay, I set like what I thought was my best first run ever. Like no one's going to beat it. Somebody comes out, you, Alex, whoever it is, someone comes out and beats it. And then you're like, okay, if I can do this a little better, I'll go faster. You do that, you end up going even faster. And it repeats normally a couple times after that too. So you end up going faster probably two or three times over than what you thought you could the first time.
100%. You ride so fast that when you actually do a full lap and you're more at your normal race speed, the lap feels slow and it's really easy to ride mistake free. And it feels like you can push as hard as you want. And like me and Connor did that a ton, especially at the beginning of 2016 when we were training together before the Olympics.
Yeah.
And I won all those time trials that year. And I was thinking back the other day, one of the biggest reasons why is because we rode at such a high pace all the time with single straight efforts, half flat lap efforts, that when we did time trials or full laps, I didn't even feel like I was going that fast because we were used to such a high pace that you can control yourself, you can ride clean, and you go way faster than you normally would.
Yeah, it's pretty cool when you start putting the pieces of those puzzles together like you did. Like you just started clicking them off like nothing.
Yeah, and it's because I didn't even feel like I was riding fast, but the pace of the single straight efforts was so high that when you did full laps, like your normal speed was really fast.
Anyone knows too that races, like that you go through times and or tracks or whatever, where sometimes it feels like everything's coming at you slow, and that's a good thing because it feels like you're in control. You like you have everything dialed. Mm-hmm. There are times though when if you aren't feeling comfortable or you've been, I don't know, a little bit off. Maybe you've coming off an injury, you haven't been riding, and you hop back on. It feels like the track's coming at you fast sometimes. That's a terrible feeling.
Yeah, your nervous system's not used to the speed.
No, it's nuts.
I remember some years when we'd be down in Chula and we'd be doing the third straights on the ABA track, on Tyler's track, we'd be going so fast that sometimes I felt like I could barely hold onto my bike. Manualing so hard that it feels like you're going to lose the front end.
Dude, because those rollers aren't big. You're kicking down so fast. It's quite bumpy going down the straightaway. So you're trying to find any bit of smoothness you can. And you're motoring. It's like, yeah, you can't even realize what's going on. It's happening so fast.
No, it's a fucking blur. So then think, like, you do a full lap and your speed, you're like, wow, I'm going so slow, I can push way harder.
Yeah, you're just doing everything you can to possibly go faster and faster and faster. Yeah.
Yeah.
I did one time I was feeling like, what was it, the other year? I think it was last year, early, at the beginning of last year maybe, or end of the year before. I was feeling shitty about my turn. So I just set up timers at the beginning and the end of the turn and was just finding different ways to go around the turn and find like how I could get in and through it faster. I thought that was a lot of fun. I had a good time doing that.
Yeah, and it keeps it fresh too. Like going to your home track all the time and just riding gets boring.
It does. Yeah, seriously. We don't change our tracks enough for it to be entertaining all the time.
Yeah, no question.
Another one I saw you have in here we can talk about is people sticking to a template too much.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people just think, okay, it's the winter, so I need to focus on strength. Then I do strength speed. Then I need to work on explosive power, then speed. And they don't really... And I think coaches do that too. They don't really identify what you need to work on. Like in the off season, sure, if you need to increase your strength, I think it's a good time to do it. But you really need, like, I think what I do with my riders is like, you really need to look at what you need to improve on. So if you don't need to improve on strength, then why would you spend a couple months increasing your strength if it's kind of for diminishing returns? I think you got to look at where you get the most bang for your buck, where you can spend your time and energy improving and go after that. Like, sure, I think the old school way is to do those random, not random, but like that kind of phase rollout, but it won't work for every rider. And that's not what I do. And I don't think it's the best way. I think a lot of people still do that, but it's like you're kind of hurting yourself by not putting your time and energy into what you really need to improve on, whether it's something technical or skills or speed.
So you kind of think that theory or that thinking of like, even if you're mid-season, you feel like you're lacking some strength. It's kind of like that thing of, shoot, well, I guess we just got to hold on with what we got until the winter time and then try to build it. Where instead of just being like, I'm missing some strength, let's get it in now. Like, let's try to build now. Is that what you kind of mean?
Yeah, I think it's a good way to lose if you follow that generic template.
You kind of, a year goes by too quickly then, it seems like.
Yeah, and you don't really, it's like the same shit every year. And you don't, it gets stale and you don't get to work on what you truly need to improve.
Right. What about when
it's not individualized? Like, it depends. Like, obviously, you got to look at your race schedule, your body type, how much training you can handle. But if it's managed well, it can be done extremely efficiently.
Yeah, that's cool. I was reading someone posted, it could have been like Rhonda or Jen. Someone, I think they posted about like, you know, people have different strengths and stuff, and it's always like, okay, let's work on the weakness mm-hmm. to get the weakness up. But it's like, never one ever like just says, okay, well, this is your strength. Let's just make your strength as good as it can possibly. Let's make it better. Let's make your strength even better. So you're even better than the other people at what you're already good at. And then we'll just try to keep your weakness up. Let's just try to tag it along as we go. Have you ever thought about that idea?
Yeah. It's a balance. Like the more time you spend in one area, the other areas will suffer for right. sure. Whether it's something technical or physical, but well, it's like logically, if you're a fantastic starter and you can't jump a pro section, what you do is keep doing gates. It's
yeah,
like,
that's different.
Not useful. You're going to need to practice a pro section. So yeah, it's like, I think you shouldn't try and change yourself. Like if you're not a strong guy, don't put on a huge gear and short cranks and try and muscle something because you're going to get killed.
Right.
But I think you do need to spend time improving what you're weaker at, like logically, to make yourself a well-rounded rider. Like if you're, yeah. like I said, if your track speed's poor, work more on your track speed. And if you're a good starter, you probably don't need to spend as much time on your starts and you can improve yourself in other ways. But you probably shouldn't ever just try to change yourself because naturally we're always going to be better at something over the other.
Yeah. That's kind of what I was thinking of, is trying to change yourself, I think, is that idea of like, I need to be someone different. I need to be a better starter, or I need to be stronger. It's like, no, like you're like, let's be real. Let's take someone like Carlos. He is incredible around the track. And obviously he works on his starts because although that might, I mean, he's compared to the average person, he's a phenomenal starter compared to the elite of the mm-hmm. elite who he's up against. That's definitely his weakness. I think that's fair to say, but his track speed is so good. I don't think he, what am I trying to say? It's not like he disregards the starts and only focuses on his strength of let's just do track speed only. But he also doesn't go full on the other way and say, okay, my track speed's so good that I'm just not going to work on it. I'm just going to go all in and be a great starter. I feel like he's good at having that in between.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's probably accepted that he's obviously never going to be like a, I don't know, top five starter in the world, but it doesn't matter. Like improve your starts and then just race with what you're really good at and strategize that way.
It's crazy. Sorry, saying that loud too. It's crazy talking about someone like Carlos. Oh yeah, it's like his weakness is the starts. Dude,
he's a really good starter if you look at his starts.
Like it's just when you're talking about a guy like him, his caliber, we only compare him to guys of like Romain, Joris, Jeremy, Renkro, like the people of like the best starters in the world, like the people who he's up against constantly at a World Cup. He's obviously incredible off the start, but it's just comparatively speaking, you got guys that are a millimeter better consistently. Yeah. It's like it's crazy.
Yeah, you're comparing to the top riders in the world, so.
Yeah. It's kind of still a coach's corner question. Is we've talked about in the past, you know, the idea of you need to have as a young kid growing up, it's good to have balance. It's good to, like, work on or play other sports because in the future it's going to help you. These days, I think I saw the Jen the post. These days, though, it's like kids are being, like, forced to almost do these sports because if they don't, like, they're going to fall behind because other people are already going full in on these sports at a young age. And I feel like it's got to be hard for a young kid to then keep up to somebody that's going full in on one sport when they're trying to, you know, do two or three sports. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it is. Like, I think, yeah, maybe if you look at it like that year, the kid who just does one sport is better off than the other kid at the other sports, but everyone's different. Like some kids are fine just doing one sport and love it and don't get burnt out. And some kids prefer to do multiple and they prefer to do that. I think you gotta just do whatever the kid wants. Like if the kid wants to go full on in one sport, go for it. And if the kid wants to play other sports, go for it. I think if a coach or anyone tells a person like you can only do this one sport, they generally don't have your kid's best interests at heart. They have their own interests at heart.
Right. They just want that athlete that they see that they need for their team in that moment.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I don't think they have best interest if they're telling you that.
Yeah,
and I think it's wrong. Like, let the kid do whatever they want.
We're not on this world for a long time. Go have fun doing what you want.
Yeah, you got to be happy with what you're doing no matter what.
Yeah, true. I hire that.
What do you think the biggest change in the what do you think the biggest change is the last 10, 20 years in the sport is?
So I wrote this one in. I didn't even know what to answer it myself when I wrote it in. My initial thought process goes instantly to something like the way we train has become very very much the same around, you know, around the sport, from top to bottom, is very much the same. Whereas I feel like maybe 10 years ago wasn't exactly the same. Like, it was, people were still figuring things out, so they were trying different things. But I also, my other thought coming to mind was the tracks. Like, what's the biggest change? Well, the tracks have definitely gone to a very safe manner now, like in the sense of very basic, very standard one way. What do you think?
Yeah, I think the training's gotten more dialed, but I don't think it's changed a whole lot. Like, I don't think it hasn't like done a 180, but I think it's probably managed better. And yeah, I think overall the level's a bit higher. I think just overall the fucking speed is way higher now. Like, look at 10 years ago to now, this, everyone's so fast. And I mean, it's just natural. Every sport gets better and stronger and faster every year, but ours has made some pretty big gains, I think.
Yeah, it has, I guess. And that's actually a really good answer, I guess, for what's the biggest change is, because the rider's still riding the similar style. There's no major change in, let's say, style in the past 10 years, but the speed seems to be faster and faster. Like, you put the guys on the hill 10 years ago versus the guys on the hill now, I'd say they're going to win now, right?
100%, not even close.
What's nuts about that, though, is, like, I mean, of course there's a limit to the human body. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking of 100-meter sprinters. Like, dude, they've been training that for how many years and they haven't gotten any faster? Yes, doping comes into play. But still, it just seems crazy that they still have not found a way to get any faster, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think there's any limit to what the body can do, I don't think.
You think they're going to go faster eventually in 100 meter?
Like, okay, everyone has a limit of how fast they can go, yes. But I think, like, you can't say, like, a certain time is a limit from how fast a body can go. Someone's going to go faster in a sport or throw farther or whatever.
Right, right, yeah. I wonder if they'll ever have to change the size of, like, a football field, you know?
Well, dude, like, you go watch in person, like, a hockey game, like an NHL game, their rink looks so small compared to how fast and big those guys are.
Yeah, you look, watch on TV, too, and a rink looks normal size. You go in person, it feels tiny to me.
Have you ever seen how big humans were, like, 500 years ago? Everyone was, like, 5 feet tall.
That's ridiculous, though, isn't it?
Have you seen that? The doorways are, like, 6 feet tall.
Yeah, fair.
We'd all hit our head.
We bend it down to get through places.
Dude, seriously. So I don't know. I think everyone just gets bigger, stronger, faster all the time. And it's going to continue for sure.
Speaking of height.
Some sports are, I mean, not naming it. Some sports are probably pretty dirty and their records might not be broken for a while or might not in general.
True. I watched another, I don't know if I mentioned on the show. I might have. I watched another doping scandal documentary the other week, actually. It was pretty good. But the guy, where was he? Frick. Was he in California somewhere? He was the guy that was doping up the US 100 meter sprinters and, like, apparently Barry Bonds, really? Like that stuff. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. He's not.
At Balco Labs.
Yeah, that
the
one.
Balco one.
Yeah.
You know, I just watched it too. Yeah, pretty wild.
Kind of interesting. What if everyone wants to take a peek?
Just saucing everyone.
Just unbelievable. Just casually doing it too. Just no biggie.
I mean, dude, it has to go on still. I think people are just getting better at not getting caught. There's always going to, whenever you have money and fame and all that, people are going to cheat.
True.
It's just the reality of human nature, I think.
This is a completely off topic question, but when you're talking about height and humans growing, how tall are you? 6 foot?
6'1".
6'1". How tall is Savannah?
5'10", I think.
5'10", yeah, okay. What's the highest, like, obviously you're engaged now, so you can't, I don't know how to ask you this question. What's the tallest you would date?
I don't know. I've never dated a girl taller than me before.
I was having this discussion with my parents, and then one of my buddies was like, yeah, what, like, how
gonna
tall?
Gonna be honest, I wouldn't love if a woman was taller than me.
What if it was only like when she was in heels? I feel like it's different, but still the same.
I've never dated a girl taller than me, so I wouldn't like it. I don't think.
I don't think I would either. That's my thing too.
Obviously, if you like fall in love with them, it's whatever. But I wouldn't. I wouldn't like it. Seriously.
No, not for me. I don't think I'd like it.
No, I wouldn't.
Yeah. Anyways, okay.
Call me old school. Call me old school.
Just a bunch of old guys over here now.
Speaking of which, you've seen Kevin Hart's wife? She's like a head taller than him. It's kind of funny.
Really? I didn't realize that, no.
But I mean, he's like 5'5", so what are you going to do?
Is she an absolute smoke too?
I mean, yeah, she's really pretty.
If you're dating a supermodel, you go taller. You just live with it.
But I mean, 5'5". What do you? I mean, of course they're gonna be taller.
Your options are slim picking when you're that short. Come on.
Yeah, exactly.
All to the short kings out there. Stay with us. Yeah. What about the past 20 years? Big change in the past 20 years. Do you think it's still similar, same style like of change, meaning like it's just kind of speed-wise? And
I think the training significantly got better. Obviously, Supercross has come into play when it wasn't really before, and people have just gotten way better. Yeah. 20 years has changed a lot. 10 is more minimal, I think.
Yeah. Do you think, being how much our sport has developed in the past, whatever, 20 to 30 years, that we are probably one of the, I guess more, I was going to say, because there's a lot of these sports, are there, baseball, basketball, the standard sports, they in general, compared to us, they've been around so much longer that they probably really haven't changed a lot in the past 20 years compared to us.
Yeah, everyone's gotten faster. Yeah.
People just be pulling these days. It is what it is.
Yeah. What hasn't progressed at all?
I don't want to say this because everything that I think is not like, it's not shining a good light on the sport. I don't want to say it. We're trying to shine a good light on the sport at all times. We're trying to be those people.
No, say it.
The fucking track's gone backwards. The money's gone downhill. The sponsorships aren't, outside of the sport. We don't have outside sponsors, like those three things.
The price money and stuff's gotten way worse.
Dude, inflation, dude. What are we doing these days?
Dude, when you account for not only absolute numbers has gotten worse, you count inflation, it's even way worse.
It's ridiculous. It's got it. Yeah. That's going to be a constant thing forever. It always will be. But I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah, I don't know. It's up to the pros, man. It's up to the pros that are racing. You got to do something.
Like, you look at the top football players or whatever. I mean, Joey B just got a max contract now. He's the new highest paid football player, right? Is that did I read that right?
The problem is, like, no, everyone bitches about it, but no one does anything. Like honestly, none of the pros do anything about it. So what do you, I mean, like, yeah, nothing's going to change.
The person doing about it is doing something about it. Lately has only been Nick Long. He's the only one that really, I mean, went out of the way to raise money for the pros. Yeah.
But other than that, they haven't, like, no one does anything. No one, I don't know. Nothing changes. So nothing's going to change.
Something's got to change.
Want to get to some questions from the grandstand?
Yeah, let's do it. We do have quite a bit. And hopefully we got some good ones in there, because the whole point today was to get some wild ones, get some random ones. So let's do it.
Oh, I saw a certain someone. Okay, never mind.
Okay. I'm going to start from this one. From Will Hammington, would you rather race with no helmet visor or no seat?
No visor. You're going to look like a clown, but fuck it.
Yeah. You look like a clown, but you're not going to just take one up the butt if you accidentally sit down or get, I don't know, slammed into your seat. I'll take that too.
Leezy Weezy, if you could choose one non-BMX athlete to train BMX for a year, who would it be? Finn Iles.
Yeah, probably Finn.
Like, are we saying like we want to see someone train BMX, or we want to train someone in BMX, or what?
Yeah, I would think it's Finn. Like a non BMX athlete to come do BMX for a year. Who would it be? And see how well he's just a bike rider. He's a phenomenal bike rider.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else like in a cycling discipline world? Like, who else could we bring over that could do that kind of thing?
Ken Roczen.
That'd be fucking sick, eh? Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, that'd be sick.
Did you see their super motocross race on the weekend?
No, was it good?
It was okay. I mean, it was just okay. I didn't like, they were, I can't remember where they were, but it was that, classic clay surface that for the style of racing they were doing.
Charlotte or something, wasn't it?
Maybe, yeah. For the style of racing they were doing, I wasn't a huge fan, because it's like, it's trying to be a mix between moto and supercross, and it's like, they're going fucking wide open in some areas on a clay track, which just seems a little kind of wild. Super hard pack track. It just seems nuts. Right. And then hopping into some supercross style stuff, which I do like. So I don't know. It's just weird. The whole track surface style, everything was just different, interesting. But I will say the layout of the track was kind of wild and kind of fun. So that made things interesting at times. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I just zoomed out. Would you rather pay for a factory team frame or be given a new Huffy? There's a new Huffy? I shouldn't have read that one.
I saw that one. Yeah, go to the next one.
Sorry, no, I was tennis. I shouldn't have read that one. What's this?
Go to Skyler's.
Skyler's. All right. Skyler Popolos, BMX. What's worse, not to spec hill or table first jump? That is a great question.
Table first jump, 100%.
Really?
Dude, yeah.
I'd rather have a table first jump and a fucking good hill. If the hill is just shit, dude, I fucking can't stand that. Like, that's the one thing we have that's standard. It's just a good hill.
You mean to tell me you're okay with a supercross hill and a tabletop?
What? No, I'm not saying I'm happy about it. But if there's going to be a tabletop at the bottom and a good hill, I'm going to be like, okay, dude, we need to get rid of this.
So you'd rather have Louisville with a tabletop than Rock Hill with a normal first jump?
No, you're right. I'd rather have Rock Hill with a gap jump than Louisville. Yeah, yeah. Okay, 100%. I take it back. You're right. All right. Mind changed. Turned over. Fair enough.
Jordy Snyder, is there any BMX rider who got caught doping? Yeah, there's been a couple.
We're not going to be the people to call them out.
I think, I know of a few, actually. I don't know if it's been public. So. I know of a few from through the grapevine that have and never got caught.
Yeah, that's the truth too. Yeah, I've heard that. From Schneider Jordy as well. Would you rather have more followers on IG or YouTube?
I mean, I have a YouTube, but I never post, so I'll say IG, I guess.
I'd take YouTube. I think you're making more money off the YouTube.
From Nikki Shooter, the best night before racing meal. Spaghetti bolognese. Next question.
That's a good one. I mean, that's just the standard issue. Other than that, it's Chipotle. Look at that. CF11's in the questions.
I saw that.
ABA or NHL? NHL, dude.
NHL. NHL.
Absolutely.
Sean Lee, Hugh BMX. Who do you think is going to the Olympics in 2024? I'm guessing he means for the U.S.
Where's that question? Anyways. Who's going to the Olympics in 2024 for U.S.?
I'm guessing U.S., yeah. Elise and Felicia for women.
Okay.
They have three or two. I don't remember.
They could get right now. They'll probably get three. I think they'll probably get three.
Okay. Elise, Felicia, and probably Peyton, honestly. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
Peyton's running well.
Yeah. Guys.
Men. Are they going to even get two?
It's going to be tough to get two at this point. It's going to be really tough.
Yeah, I think probably just Cam.
Yeah, which is tough. We'll see. There's still time. There's still definitely time. I think they need Cam back, though. They need their
The boys need to step up, sure.
They need three people getting American points. Boys. That's the problem. They need their top three guys getting points. Yeah. If your top three guys in the country aren't getting points, then it's just tough.
Yeah.
I like this one again from Schneider Jordy again. Would you rather ride with a flat front tire or a flat back tire? If you were in a race, you had to finish the lap. You have to finish the lap. You have to try to jump stuff.
I think it's got
to
be. I think a back tire.
Got to be. That's way safer. You might slide out in the turn, but at least it's your back end sliding.
Yeah, it's got to be.
Yeah.
Okay, let's piggyback the Osho one from Scott Brohagen. Who are the front runners for 2028 USA Olympic squad? That's so hard to predict. Fucking Cedric Cade.
Sorry, my thing scrolled down and messed up. Sorry, the front runners.
So 5 years from.
Oh, wow.
2028, 5 years from now.
Who are the front runners 5 years from now for the Olympics in the U.S.? So Cam Wood, Cedric Cade, Drew Polk. I'd throw him in there. Mm. Dude, there's a bunch of. I think U.S. has a good handful of guys that could be in there. I mean,
so hard. You don't know who's going to step up.
Who's still going to be there, I guess. Like, Cam's still going to be racing, I feel like. He's going to be there.
Yeah.
So, I think there's actually more. What do you
think? Rowdy Mears, do you think 2024 Olympics will be the last for BMX? I hate this question. No, absolutely not. I don't know why, not you know, ragging on him or the question, but I don't know why people think BMX is going to leave the Olympics. I honestly don't get it.
I don't want to say why or not, but it's like, it's been a thing in these UCI meetings. That's like, it's in the past, the Olympics doesn't like that BMX has a lot of crashes. That's a problem. You know what? It pisses me off though. Like, we've had meetings about this before, and it's like, BMX was the highest, I think one of the top sports for sending people like for crashes or injuries or whatever in the Olympics. I think it was the Olympics. Mm-hmm. It was a stat. And it's like, one, I don't know what they're calling an injury. Maybe like, what are they calling a crash, or like, where are they getting their stats from? But even when it came to the world stuff, it's like BMX is going to be high in those numbers. It's like, we understand that. Like, no one's ever said BMX is not. And I don't see that as a bad thing. It's an action sport. What do you expect? Yeah. I think that's what's going to happen. I can't remember where I was trying to go with that, but it's just, I think it's a little ridiculous that they make that seem like it's a bad thing. I mean, at the end of the day, let's be real and honest about it. People love seeing people crash. It is what it is. Like, that's part of the entertainment factor and why people watch the sport at the end of the day.
Yeah, I think it's also high rating and sells tickets really quickly too. So
it's like, yeah, like, you should be viewing that as a good thing, in my opinion. I'm sorry.
Yeah. Anyway, to answer the question, I don't think it's going anywhere.
No. What is this one? We're saying, for Mason James, will we see any of you make a comeback for the Masters World Champs? No. Nope. But that does spark, it does spark my interest of thinking of, who's the best Masters champion? Like, if you put the Masters champions against each other, it'd be really entertaining to me to see them compete against each other, because they all go through their waves of, like, they come in after elite and perform really well, and then eventually kind of lose interest or find other interests and maybe die off a bit and move on. But all of them coming in would, like, during their peaks would be fun to see.
Javier and Christian were really good when they raced it.
That was a great battle, wasn't it? Those years, I guess.
10 years ago, they were good. They were really good. Yeah, they were awesome. Obviously, Barry's riding great now, but
yeah, I considered the big three then, because what's his name? Was it Polkamp?
Yeah,
he was Polkamp with too. Yeah, he was with them too. Those were like three guys were really entertaining to watch, and yeah, definitely. I think like the past couple of years, Barry and Mosquito were really entertaining. So
yeah, Tyler was really good too. Like, when he was training and racing,
yeah.
He was really fast and consistent.
I wonder if he's going to give the Grands another crack this year. That'd be fun to watch.
Yeah, I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if he goes and races, but he he's busy with his track and everything. He's not like he's full-time into it anymore. Yeah. Eli Shaw, other than Glasgow, where would be your ideal location for another UCI World Cycling Championship, i.e. all-discipline event?
I don't know where has everything available. Because the hardest thing is including somewhere where there can be downhill mountain biking. If I'm being honest, it would be absolutely sick to have it in. They should put one in Whistler. It's not going to happen.
Vancouver, you could do it. Yeah, it's not going to happen, but Vancouver, you could do it.
Yeah. You have to build a new velodrome, though, so then there's one you couldn't do.
Yeah, it's got to be. The velodrome's kind of a problem.
It'd be tough. I think you'd have to, like, somewhere in Europe is the only place you can do it. I was going to say the Netherlands, but there's no mountain there to do downhill.
Yeah, where the hell are you going to do downhill?
No.
Yeah. You have to go to Switzerland to do downhill.
Yeah.
Switzerland could do it. That'd
straight,
be cool.
Actually, yeah, straight up. There you go. There you go. That's a good one.
Yeah. Or Australia. I'm sure you could do it somewhere.
Yeah, that's a good point. True. You could probably do Australia. Yeah. I'm sure South America somewhere has something.
Yeah. We got any more in here?
There's so many different ones on here. I'm not really sure.
I think that's it.
Oh yeah, here's one. Thoughts on the pro am class at the races these days? Having pro ams at like the ABA rounds, USA BMX rounds.
I don't know. I don't really have an opinion. I don't know. I don't really. Yeah, I guess so. It's cool. Why not? Go for it.
Fair.
I mean, if it's not a pro race, yeah, why not?
Yeah. I guess this one's not anything.
Honestly, I haven't really given it a whole lot of thought, if I'm being transparent.
No, that's fair too. I mean, I haven't either. We're we kind of are what we are. We've stayed in our lane of we talk about the pros and we watch the pro series. We're pretty realistic about that.
Yeah, I don't know.
So what's the funniest thing anyone has said to you on the track during a race? That's from Priz 419.
Sometimes in like a semi at times, you just be like, go. If you're third in a semi and you're someone like that. Yeah.
That's
the person's not trying to pass you. They just want to make it. Stuff like that is kind of funny, I think, after the fact.
I think it's hilarious mid-race when you're having to yell at somebody to fight. Like, you're just like, go.
Okay. Actually, I just thought of something, and I thought of this randomly as fuck the other day. I think Connor was leading or in second. I think Connor was in second in the semi. I was in third. Is that race in Pflugerville? Something Central Texas BMX, one Tanner runs.
Yep.
In Austin. We're in the semi going through the last corner. I hear Connor go, and I kind of look up, and there's a guy with holding a broomstick running across the track. That was on. Connor almost fucking hit him.
That's unbelievable. I do remember that too. That was unreal, dude.
That was unbelievable. I don't know what the fuck that guy was thinking.
Unreal, dude. Unreal. You just get caught off guard sometimes.
Dude, yeah, but get caught off guard doing what? How do you not know a lap's coming?
I don't know. Maybe you're just not thinking. You're clearly just not thinking, right?
Maybe he was just super high or something. Maybe he just smoked a bunch of weed and was stoned out of his mind. I don't know. But it's crazy what almost happened.
Huge. That could have been a moment. That would have been a wild moment.
We had a good laugh after the semi. That was fucking hilarious. Proget, you're up. Winning starts with a great gate. Thanks for listening, folks. We'll be back with a guest next week.
Yes, please. Snap on green, everybody.
Snap on green.
Well, what's this friggin' podcast all about? I don't get it, man. Coffee chatter?
Get off my back, guys. You have to be fast in the track.
I hate that guy.